Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to District Nationals, episode 1.12, I believe. I am Nick. You can follow me on Twitter at Coach Moose. He is Trey. You can follow him on Twitter at Reverse 2Rs 2Ss and the show at District BSB. It is a very exciting episode today because we finally have a glimmer of hope. Finally, just a touch, just a smidge. At the time we are recording this, Andrew Golden just reported that Harold Ramirez will be joining the team in San Diego for their upcoming series against the Padres. And I hate that I am now celebrating Harold Ramirez joining the team, but that is what this team has done to me by trotting out the same old washed up veterans over and over and over again. So new is better in this case. So I cannot wait to see what the corresponding move is. So if you see either Trey or myself look down at our phones frantically, you know, scroll, or you know, it's bad radio if you're listening to podcast form and we're not saying anything for like 30 seconds because we're desperately trying to figure out what the corresponding move is. Obviously they have to clear a spot on the 40 band, so it's not going to be as simple as someone just hitting the injured list. Someone's getting released today and I cannot wait. Trey, how you doing?
Well, there is also the possibility that Lipscomb just gets sent down again, which would be lame.
Well, they have to clear a 40 band spot, so that doesn't work.
I think they were, I thought they were at 39 before this.
Oh, were they? Well,
I think
they were.
Who
would have been the 40th? Where would they
have cleared it? I thought I saw somebody tweet that they were, I could be totally wrong. Maybe you're right.
I can look right now. Say how you're doing.
All right. Yeah. Well, while Nick figures that out, because I'm silly and don't know, I'm doing pretty good. You know, we had a, okay, well, I was saying we did pretty good. I'm doing okay today, but the Nationals were interesting.
How you doing, man? Week. Actually, not too well. There's
actually,
a lot
not
going
great.
On in my
was,
life.
Yeah, not yeah. The my baseball team determines my mood. So, yeah, the Nats went 3-3 this past week, which seems pretty good for the Nats when you look at just the record. But if you watched the games, it was one of the more frustrating weeks of Nats baseball ever. Like this team, they're a roller coaster, man. I don't really know how else to describe them. They didn't play well this week, but they ended with the 500 record, so they salvaged it. So it's like, how mad can I really get? But there was definitely some issues that I'm sure we'll get into.
Well, this is not helpful at all. I guess they are under. I just want to know how many people are on the 40 man, and it gives me the 40 man, but it gives me the guys on the 60-day IL that don't count.
Yeah,
against
I
it.
Know.
So according to this baseball reference, 41 minus 3, the 3 being Cavalli, Ferrer, Thompson should get you down to 38, but I thought they had more than that. So maybe there isn't a release coming, which definitely is a wet blanket on this entire thing, but
could happen.
It could. So we're saying there's a chance.
Yeah,
right. And that's all I really want. And I it sucks that I missed last week, because last week was kind of like a good time.
Oh, it was like the most fun episode yet, right? I was like, oh,
and
we won. Yeah,
and here,
here I am.
Right, and here I am back again. They freaking go 3-3 again. The offense looks terrible. Pitching was great. It's the same shit every single week.
Yeah.
And I just want to talk about something different, but like this team, I guess, like in a very backwards way, at least we know what they are. Like there's not so much of trying to figure out who's good, who's bad, what this team is. That's kind of what it's been like the past couple years. Granted, we've known the team is bad. Right. But in terms of the players and their fit going forward, like there was a lot of that up in the air. This year, it feels much more crystal clear. We know who's a guy. We know who's a guy for now. And we know who's a guy that just shouldn't be here. Yeah. Like, that's kind of what it comes down to. Like, there's three different categories. Like, Jesse Winker, for example, he's a guy for now. But I'm cool with that, right? Because he's playing well. Eddie Rosario, he's a guy that shouldn't be here, right? Yeah,
there you
so,
go.
You know, and there's categories to this. There's levels to this shit. But anyways, yeah, this team is maddeningly the same.
Like, it's yeah, just, the lack of adjustments are the thing that's right. Killing us.
Yeah. And the biggest one you alluded to was base running. Obviously, the Nats played in Coors this weekend. 1-2 of 3, great series win. I'm happy that, you know, they're playing well. The bats came alive a little bit. I'm going to be a little bit of a hypocrite because I'm like, oh, the Coors effect isn't real. But
it's
like,
real.
If you give the Nats like 19 hits in a game, I know that something is afoot.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's real. It's just less pronounced than people,
right.
Than it used to be, especially. But
right.
It
was certainly nice to help. But there's still plenty of issues with the offense. And listen, I'm okay with this team's identity being through the base paths. Like, I think it actually as objective as like possibly can be, I think it actually makes sense because you're playing to this team's strength. The strength is speed, but they are doing so recklessly.
Yeah,
like where it's actively now hurting them in these games. I think there was a stat that was going around where the Nats are 11 for their last 28 in stolen base attempts. Like, if you think about it, if that was just one player, just attribute 28 stolen base attempts to one player. If you're 11 for 29, they're going to tell you to stop running because it's just not worth it at that point. Like, you're running into outs. And that's what this team is doing willingly, like over and over and over again. I'm not saying they shouldn't run, but we've been saying for weeks on the show that they need to be way more selective with when they try to do this. So it's frustrating to see them. Like, the definition of insanity is doing something over and over and over again and expecting different results. And that's kind of what it feels like they're trying to do. They're like, oh, we're going to run. We don't care what
that's what literally happens. That's basically what Davey said.
But yeah, oh my God, don't even get me started. But like, it's maddening to see them not have any adjustments, because that's what we've criticized this team for years, and specifically Davey for years. Was the lack of adjustments. They have a plan, yeah. They stick to it. And in some cases, that's admirable, that's respectable. But like, when the plan doesn't work, you have to be able to change course and adjust. Every great team does that. And the Nats not only aren't doing it, they're admitting they're not doing it and still don't care. And that's frustrating.
That is definitely the most frustrating part. Because the thing is, the league has adjusted to us, right? Mm-hmm. They now know we're going to run. We're going to be as aggressive as possible.
Right.
We're trying to take the extra base. They're on high alert. They're ready for it. So then you have to make the adjustment back. And like you said, they're not doing it. They're not making adjustments. And they're honestly just being stubborn for the sake of being stubborn.
Yep. I just want to tail to that point. Not only are they being stubborn about it, they're like blaming players for it when it's a team philosophy. Like, what's the name of the third base coach that I
absolutely Gutierrez.
Yeah. He has gotten so many runners thrown out this year through late stop signs, bad send calls, like whatever you want to, in every single way a guy can get thrown out at third. And not only it's just like Davey and the coaching staff are blaming the players when like the stop sign come. He's just like, just kind of throws his hands up. Like he's afraid to, you know, be seen or ask a question in class. And, you know, then you have Davey saying, oh, well, X player needs to do a better job. But what are we talking about?
With like, the most non-committal third base coach in the league.
Oh my God. It's crazy. And I know Davey's a player's manager, and for the most part, the players like playing for him, but that can't be good to hear from your manager to basically hear you hear him throw you under the bus.
I mean, it's like I heard Franzen say something like, why are we not picking up our third base coach? And
oh
I'm
my
just sitting
God.
There thinking like,
yeah,
do you want, how many instances do you want? Cause I could give you like five.
Oh my
off top.
God.
Like, I mean, the dude has gotten
it's
so
maybe
many
because we
runners.
Can't pick him up because he doesn't give a sign.
I know. He's like, he doesn't even know. Like, we did not know how good we had it with Bob Henley.
Right.
Bring him back.
Right.
Bring back Senley, man.
At least he
at
was,
least
he was aggressive.
He
in
committed.
Trying to get guys to score. Right.
He said, I'm sending you. He
oh
didn't hold
my
up the
God.
stop sign when you're
Yeah.
two steps past third base and tell you to go back. Luis Garcia has to have at least four instances where he's been thrown out on the bases
Oh
because
my
of the base
God.
coach.
And
Like,
it's
not
like
even, it's maddening.
Garcia has been so much better and just he's been consistent. He in terms of consistency, he's probably been the most consistent position player in the Nats this season.
Yeah, I'd have to
Not the
agree.
best, but the most consistent. And my God, that poor guy will never get out of the doghouse because Davey Martinez is looking for any excuse to get him back in there. Like,
Yeah, I
my
know.
God, it's frustrating. And it's funny to hear you talk about the Franzen thing. I totally forgot about that. And this is not a base running issue, but I caught most of yesterday's game on the radio when I was driving back and forth. And I think Trey Lipscomb was up to bat, and Charlie Slows was talking about Lipscomb's proclivity for like elevating in college and in the minors, like line drives and obviously fly balls. But for whatever reason, he's been hitting a lot of ground balls in the majors. And I'm like, Charlie, I wonder why.
I wonder
Like,
why.
what might have changed between college, the minors, and then the major leagues, specifically the Nationals, to lead a young player with a profile to elevate balls to now hit it straight into the ground? Like, what might have happened? What might be going on here that
Yeah.
like leads to weak contact and ground balls? Just,
I
oh
just
man. It's
And
like
at this point,
everyone knows, but like so many
yeah,
people involved are afraid to say it.
exactly. Everyone is absolutely aware of what the problem is. His name is Darnell Coles, and
Yeah.
he just hasn't done a good job with this team. They've gotten worse somehow, which I didn't think was possible. And the only reason that their record is looking better is because they have an elite pitching staff out of nowhere. If this pitching staff did not turn around, this team would be horrible.
Yeah.
So, but they did turn around and you know, they've been keeping the Nats in this. Now let's give them some help, which they are trying finally to make an adjustment by calling up Harold Ramirez, even though that's like kind of a whatever signing. He
It's
could
very much a
potentially,
whatever signing, but
he's had
who
good
cares?
stretches in the bigs. So like, I didn't mind. I kind of liked the idea just to get somebody new in there because again, we've had Rosario and Meneses just sucking the life out of the lineup for the first 80 games,
Yeah.
essentially. So it's about time they actually did something. But yeah, the approach, I don't think any series has ever, you know, kind of been a symbol of this team's offensive
It was very
ineptitude
emblematic. Yep.
than the Diamondback series, where
Yep.
the
That was
Nats, I
bad.
believe, if my math is correct, saw less than 300 total pitches in a three-game series.
Yeah,
Two
they.
times they saw less than 100.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about. Yeah.
And the crazy stat is in game one, they didn't get to a single three-ball count. The D-backs' pitching approach against the Nationals was throw them strikes because they can't hit, and it totally worked. Like it absolutely, like all they did, like Brandon Pfaadt, I think, threw like 77 pitches and probably 60 of them were strikes. And like we can't hit them. So why the D-backs, by the way, have the third lowest ERA in baseball. And the Nats scored 5 runs total, I believe, in
In
those
three
three
games,
games.
yeah.
So that's pretty pathetic. And it was all about the approach. It has nothing to do with the D-backs having better talent. They didn't. They had one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball this year. Slade Ciccone, I think, is how his name is
Yep.
pronounced. Just
Looked like a Cy
completely dominate
Young.
us.
Yep.
Like, I think he was throwing a no-no through five. Like,
He was.
it was embarrassing. Like, we're not. It's not like these good pitchers are dominating us. If it was like Zach Wheeler or something, then it's like, okay, well, he's
It's
Zach Wheeler.
understandable. Yeah.
It's but like we made Kyle Freeland look like an ace.
He had a 13 ERA entering the game.
13 ERA
yesterday.
Coming off of the injured list and just completely shut us down through seven innings. They're lucky Jake Irvin bailed him out and kept him alive long enough for them to finally figure something out.
Yeah.
It's just the frustration. It's like this team is so undisciplined in every aspect in position playing. Pitching wise, it's like the complete opposite. They're like, I can't find many flaws with that pitching staff right now. I mean, some of the back end bullpen guys haven't been great, but really starting pitching's been pretty elite and most of the bullpen's been solid. So obviously I forgot we had to talk about Kyle Finnegan's the walk-off.
I was gonna mention that. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Popped in my head. I was like, oh my God, that totally happened.
Because that's been a recurring thing for him. And I know he's certainly not the only one to really push the limits with the pitch clock. But with him in particular, it's like it's almost an every appearance thing where it's like if he doesn't get a violation, he's damn near close a couple times. Mm-hmm. And to do so, you got to have some awareness there. Obviously, you know, I think a small part of Finnegan, Nats, and maybe even the fans, like they didn't think that the umpire was actually going to call it in that situation. Like it 3-2 bases loaded, like kind of a, in some respect, a ballsy call to actually enforce the pitch clock violation. But at the same time, it's a rule. Like, you know, you got to have a little bit of awareness to understand, I got to get that pitch off, right? I understand it's 3-2. You can't throw ball 4, but you didn't even give yourself a chance.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to give yourself a shot.
So, yeah, that was a new way. This team has lost heartbreaker games time and time again over the years. That was a new one.
Yeah, time in baseball history. We made some baseball history. I kind of like accepted that we were going to lose at that point because I believe it was
three straight hits to start the inning.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. There was nobody out. So I was like, okay, you know, Finnegan, he was bound to have a start like or an appearance like this because he's been just pretty much locked down for most of the season. Like, I mean, one bad outings, whatever. And he came back the next day and shut it down, got his confidence back.
Sort of.
Yeah. Still gave him 2 hits. It looked bad at first, but then he got it back in there. So that's at least I'll give him credit for that. Because it could have gone a lot worse, actually, but he managed to keep it.
I hate that Davey does that. Granted, I think yesterday was a little bit of a different situation just because it was a one-run ball game and you really wanted to win the series. So that part I get, but there's been several instances where a guy blows up, has their worst appearance of the year, and Davey brings him back the next day.
He did it with Harvey.
Yeah, he did it with Harvey this year, too.
And I think he gave up a homer.
Yeah, he did. And it's like, I get the sentiment.
Yeah.
What's the difference between giving him one day off versus pitching him the immediate next day? Like, it's not like you have to bench him for 2 weeks like you do with Tanner Rainey. Like, you can give him one day off just to get his mind right and then let him get back out there.
I saw something, speaking of Rainey real quick, I saw something on Twitter the other day about how he's had like 6 solid appearances in a row. And I was like, yeah, because it's been like 2 months apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
In like it's always like a 7-2 game.
Yep.
Or something. Yeah, so it's like, I mean, yeah,
it actually happens for us where we have a 5-run lead.
Yeah, I know.
Let alone score 5 runs in a game.
Yeah, I just found that funny. But yeah, the team's approach is just, it's a problem. I mean, you can't swing at everything in 2024 MLB and expect to win. It just, like, sometimes it'll work. Like, we saw it work a couple times in Coors, but 4 of the 6 games this last week, the offense was totally useless. Even in a win, they won a game 3-1. They won a game 2-1. Like, those weren't good offensive performances. They just got lucky that the pitching bailed them out. Yeah. So, and it's frustrating because the pitching staff has done enough to want to like get some help here, which again, Harold Ramirez is at least some attempt at an adjustment, because that's been our thing, is like, seriously, there've been no adjustments all season. At least finally, it looks like they're trying something. They got, but the base running is ridiculous. I think they really are just stubborn because they just kept running on Gabriel Moreno and he just kept throwing them out.
Yeah, it's like, they're like, thank you.
Certain
thank
guys
you.
Are really good. Gabby Moreno happens to be probably the best at throwing runners out right now. If there is one time that you maybe want to chill, it's probably in that series, but they won't stop.
And with the way that series is going, with so many easy innings for Diamondbacks pitchers, why would you want to run into outs over and over again? You know,
it's a great question.
Like, clearly, it doesn't take the best baseball mind to know getting runners on base affects the way pitchers operate. So, like, the few runners you do get on base, let's try to leave them there for a hot sec before, you know, we willingly run into outs. Like, it's just, you know, the lack of adjustments is baffling. And I think undisciplined is the perfect word for it. Like you said, this team is undisciplined top to bottom. The coaching staff is undisciplined. The players are certainly undisciplined because of it or in addition to it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, there were times throughout, you know, the past, we'll call it 2 years, because 2021 or 2 years prior to this, 2021 was a little bit of a different year because, you know, it was the official end of like the era and things like that. But 2022, 2023, and I understand 2023 was better than people expected, but there were times where I would say this team was winning in spite of their manager. And had we had not almost anyone else, but like just a competent manager, I'm not talking top five, top 10, but like a competent manager, we would have been winning more. And I, you know, I caught a lot of heat for it, and I'll catch a lot of heat for this too. If we had a competent manager, we would be above 500. Like, it, I understand the roster is not the most talented, but the pieces are there to at least be better than what we've seen so far, especially with the pitching. Like, you know, you don't want to have to rely on your pitchers to go, you know, seven with two or less runs every single start. But for the most part, they're giving quality starts, you know, four out of five times each turn in the rotation, right? It's kind of nuts how good and how fortunate we've been this season. Like, imagine if this rotation was league average, we would be 10, 15 games under 500 easily. And so it's like, you know, when this happens, you don't want to spoil it. And it seems like they are, because they're not really appreciating where they're at right now. And it's just, they're running into a wall and asking why the wall is there. Like, that's, it's baffling. And I think with a competent manager, you know, this team could really make some noise.
Yeah. Well, I think, you said about the roster is not good. I mean, we're not trying to say that this is a good team, but saying, at the same time, yeah. I don't care how good your roster is. You can make an adjustment.
Yep.
You can try to do something different if it's not working. So that's kind of the main point. Like, a lot of the same issues have been present since Darnell Toles became the hitting coach.
For weeks,
and especially, well, base running for weeks, but for years been the hitting thing at this point. So yeah, I mean, I'm almost not willing to even care about much batting statistics right now. Like, let me get a new guy in there, let him get a fresh approach, some new eyes on these guys, and see what happens. Because, like, I think Luis Garcia personally has so much hitting talent. If someone could just get him consistent, that's the thing. He's streaky, and he doesn't pull the ball in the air. And if someone could get him to do that a little bit more, I feel like he could be really, really good, but it's clearly not Darnell Coles. So
yeah, Luis Garcia is like the embodiment of this team in terms of, like, I think the coaching staff, specifically David Martinez, looks at him and doesn't like the makeup, the profile, because it reminds them too much of not themselves, but the way they're operating. Like, Luis Garcia is incredibly undisciplined. He's been better this year, but, you know, everything they don't like about Luis Garcia is
the epitome of their team,
the epitome of their team. Yeah. Right. So it's like Davey's punishing Garcia more than anyone because he doesn't like it, but that's the team he's created. So it's just, you know,
yeah,
pot kettle. So,
Yeah, a lot of adjustments need to be made. That's for sure. Because again, we're only a game and a half back here. Like, which
we're,
I mean, that's
so in this, man.
It's more on the National League being horrible than us being good. But still, we're right there
for sure. And it sounds batshit to say, but so much of me just wants them to go for it.
Well, I think that, you know, I think we're going to get into trading and the Nats all-star pick as well here in a second. But I think, I feel like you can trade here and do both. Like, I feel like there are some pieces that you can move and get something back that can help you win this year, and also keep some guys for this year and then trade them next year if it doesn't work out. I don't think that they should go all in and buy, although that would be kind of funny.
No,
and
it would be very interesting. But they shouldn't,
they shouldn't do that. But I think that there are certain ways that they could make the offense better for this year and also the future. If you go and you get, I haven't looked too much, so maybe this is a pipe dream, but there could be a guy, like a Michael Bush was this offseason, a dude who's kind of blocked, who's been, putting up pretty good minor league numbers for a while, but just can't see the field. If there's a guy like that who, you still get the full 6 years of control there, but you get a guy who's maybe a little bit more experienced, maybe less high of a ceiling, but someone that can help you win right then. It's something to consider in terms of that. Now, I don't know if a guy like that even exists
right now.
I haven't looked. Oh, who you got?
I'm forgetting how to pronounce his last name, so give me 1 second. But I've seen this floated around. It would cost a lot in terms of, like, you would have to give up probably Harvey and Finnegan, and then maybe someone else to like even it out, because he is up there. Hold on.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app.
Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, well, I know that Winker this year is going to go because he's only on a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
So he's got to be moved, which sucks because I actually like him a lot.
All right. Samuel Basalo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard of him.
Orioles number 2 prospect. I believe he's number 12 overall. Mm-hmm. Catcher. Obviously, the Orioles are fine with their catcher.
Yeah, and the Nats are not right now. So.
And the Nats are not. And so, like, obviously that opens up a can of worms. But at the same time, not really. Like,
Ruiz isn't making all that money.
Yeah, it's not that, bad of a contract. Like, you know, it looks bad, but it's not like the Corbin deal. I mean, Corbin's getting paid more this year than Ruiz is getting paid the next 4 years.
Like, yeah,
it's really not that bad. And at the same time, like, if you do decide to be sellers, acquire the best players you can, regardless of position, right? So if you're getting the number 12 prospect in baseball, which I'm not even sure the Orioles would do, I'm just throwing it out there because he seems like the most likely trade piece for the Orioles, who are going to make some sort of splash. I know they are.
Because
they have Adley, right? It's like they have a plethora of outfielders too, but you always need 3 outfielders, and then you can throw one at DH too, right? Whereas if you have one really good catcher, you really just need like a backup. You don't need 2 really good catchers. So he's kind of the one to look at. Granted, he's only 19, so the Orioles could kind of hold on to him for a little bit longer. God forbid, you know, something happens to Adley, but he is probably the name to watch around the league right now because of, you know, the Orioles' depth at the farm system, their perceived aggressiveness at the deadline, and also just the fact that he's a very, very good prospect.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the catcher position is definitely going to be interesting for the Nats going forward, depending on kind of how Ruiz progresses, because he's not really doing much right now. And Adams has been sent back down. Millis actually had a pretty good series against the Rockies, hit a homer. That was pretty good. Had some cool defensive plays, but I don't see him as like a long-term option. So
it's amazing how like high I was in the catcher position, like maybe a year ago. Like I liked Riley Adams in terms of, you know, I think there's potential there as a bat. It was never disillusioned by his defense. Kaber Ruiz, I've always believed in just because I didn't not want to believe in him. Like, that's just, you know, there's no fun in that. And then Millis, like, I just, you know, was ready for just a good defensive catcher, but it would be nice to just have that guy. So if Basalo or someone else inside the organization or outside the organization in this year's draft is that guy, you owe it to the organization, to the team, to just go out and get it. Like,
I'm thinking
the Ruiz deal.
Sorry to cut you off there, but I'm thinking kind of target more position players than you probably did in the past, because there might be a pitching lab, and that means that. Because like we've had these dudes coming out of nowhere. I didn't think Mitchell Parker was going to have any impact this year. He's been great. DJ Hers has come up and had some good moments. Brad Lord has come out of nowhere in the minor leagues.
Lara.
Yeah, Lara's had a good year. Like it's still early, and I said this last week, but if they do have a pitching lab, maybe trade for dudes that are a little older, position player wise. So that, you know, obviously Basalo wouldn't really quite work for that, but
they're effectively major league ready.
They're already developed by another team that's better at developing hitters than we are. So potentially they're probably going to go for some pitchers just because that tends to be how stuff works. You know, you want, you need young arms, and obviously injuries, you need as much depth as possible, but definitely I would like to see them target at least one, you know, bigger name position player prospect like a Basalo or maybe another guy of that caliber, just because it seems like they might be able to develop some pitching for the first time, like ever. So maybe try and get some guys that have already been developed hitting wise. Cause that's been the struggle has been the offense.
Yep. Agreed. Well, let's transition right into the deadline. And we're just going to highlight some guys. We'll rapid fire this, and I'm going to give you a name. You tell me if they get traded or not. Sound good?
Okay. Sounds fine.
All right. We're going to start with the name you mentioned, Jesse Winker.
Traded.
Yeah, I would say that's
should be traded pretty likely. On a 1 year. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty likely.
And he's been good, so teams are gonna want him.
Yeah. I was gonna throw Eddie Rosario in there, but I think, you know, the Nats will probably just release him and someone will probably just pick him up for
I would say DFA more likely.
All right. Well, the other position player. It sucks that they really only have two, but the only other position player that's really a conversation is Lane Thomas. Do you think Lane Thomas is getting traded?
Do I think so? No. They value him more than other teams do. Yep. Should he? Maybe, depending on the price. There are teams that need some outfield help. My bold prediction for him was that he would be traded to the Mariners. I still think that fits. Personally,
it does fit. Yeah.
They need some help, especially with hitting. And also, they're not going to make a huge splash move. They're going to go like for the second tier of guy. Mm-hmm. So that fit still works. Although I think the Nats do end up keeping him and potentially looking at extension options, which is not my favorite thing. But, you know, there, I guess, are worse guys to do that with. Like, as long as it's not a ridiculously expensive extension, I'm not horribly concerned with it, but I think that the Nats value him more than other teams.
I agree. It does seem like there's a little bit more smoke this year than last year, for whatever that's worth, and it could just be because Wood and Cruz are knocking on the door.
Yeah, and he has less control than last year too.
It also seems like the Nats are really comfortable with Jacob Young, which I don't blame them. I would hope that it's more of like a bridge spot than, you know, a permanent spot going forward, but I don't blame them. An outfield of, I would assume Cruz would be in left if Young's in center, and then he would shift over if Young was out or whatever. So an outfield of Cruz, Young, and Wood next year would be pretty fun.
Doesn't sound all that bad. I mean, yeah. You know, with Young, like, obviously he doesn't have the bat as much, but his defense is so good.
He's really damn good.
He's like the number one center fielder right now in OAA or something. He's up there. So, and if you watch him play, it's pretty obvious he's really, really good out there. So,
pretty clear.
I guess it kind of depends on how good Dylan Cruz is as a defender. Like, is he a legit center fielder? I think he probably will be. Maybe not as great of a defender as Jacob Young is, because that seems to be his focus. Mm. But like, as long as he's like getting it done out there, he'll be the everyday center fielder. And obviously Young will probably be more of a platoon fourth outfielder, which is kind of what we want. Like, we want
that's
to
what
have
I
enough
want
depth
for him, yeah.
to, for him to be a fourth outfielder, because that's kind of, he can play every day. I mean, it's like, he's a solid nine hole hitter. He's not going to hit for much power, but he's got speed. He can hit for average, and then he can run him down in center field. So I think he's leading the Nats in F4 as well, because of that defense.
I think so. I think he is.
I can check that real quick.
Yeah. So moving on, I think the rotation is pretty set. I think the one caveat would be Trevor Williams. If they're able to like hang or dangle his 11 starts in front of a team, be like, hey, you know, take a shot, right? Similar to what they did with Kyle Schwarber. Mm-hmm. He was injured at the time they traded him. Granted, that trade never amounted to anything because Aldo Ramirez didn't pan out, but at least they were smart enough to trade and try. And with the pitching depth we have, DJ Hers, Mitchell Parker, Josiah Gray coming back, Kate Cavalli coming back, Williams is actually expendable, regardless of how good he's been. So that's the one caveat, but I don't know if they're going to be able to. And then in the bullpen, it's pretty clear cut and obvious. Hunter Harvey, Kyle Finnegan, do you think one, both, or none get traded?
I think that it's entirely dependent on where the Nats are right at the deadline.
Let's say they're let's say they're right where they are, one game under 500.
They probably don't get moved.
And that's what I'm afraid of.
And you know, at least with them, they do have they both have another year. So you would have another opportunity to trade them potentially next year, but we know relievers can be volatile, and you kind of want to try and get them at max value. I don't think Kyle Finnegan's value has ever been higher.
No,
and if I'm trading one of them,
I don't know
I'm
that
trading
it'll
him
ever be higher, because he's been that good this year.
If I'm trading one, I'm trading Finnegan because he's older, he's making more money. Pretty simple.
I think the nice compromise is to trade one. But I think
Floro as well is probably going to get moved.
He's
got a 1-4-3.
I forgot he's on a one-year deal.
Yeah, so he's
but
probably
I don't think
to.
His return. He's very solid, and
I would think we package multiple relievers in one deal.
That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah.
Package multiple, increase your return. That would be the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see. Just quick, right before we wrap up the show, Nats All Stars. Do they get two this year? And if so, who are they? Or if they only get one, because every team's guaranteed one, who is it? Because I have my answer, and I'm pretty firm on that.
If it was me, my all-star is Jake Irvin.
Jake Irvin, yep. And
yeah.
That's exactly who it is. Yeah.
Because he has the combination of run prevention and innings. And I think he's done an extremely good job this year. Yep. And he's upped his K percentage even more so in the past month. So he's starting to dominate even more, which is great. I think also Finnegan would be a good choice.
Probably number two for
if
me.
They were to get two, I think it would be Irvin and Finnegan.
Yep.
Agreed. Although CJ has been really good too. It hasn't been quite as all around as we expected. It's mostly been with the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably isn't going to get there, but
it is funny though.
Winker's been good too, but
yeah, Winker's been solid, but the Nats don't have anyone in the top 10 of all-star voting right now. But
yeah,
I guess fan voting only matters for position players, so if it's not,
that's true,
play,
yeah,
it would be anyone, but still it's like, oh.
Yeah, so, it hurts a little bit.
Yeah, well, that does it for this episode. We'll be back next week. I'm really pissed off that we recorded an entire episode, didn't find the corresponding move, but we'll certainly tweet about it.
Not
so
quite.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @districtbsb. Trey's at @reverse2rs2s, as myself at @coachmoose. We appreciate you listening. Please be Eddie Rosario, Joey Meneses, DFA'd. That's all I can say. But in the meantime, let's go Nats.
Let's go Nats.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.